When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Volume.
It's Jenkins and Jones, presented by FanDuel. Football season is here, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use. FanDuel always has exclusive offers. When you win, you'll get paid fast, and FanDuel has lots of ways to, like, play the spread, moneyline, over-unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. Jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting. Combine multiple bets from the same game in a same-game parlay and try out Same Game Parlay Plus. Use promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, and download the FanDuel app today to make every moment more this football season. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Monday, October 3rd, and it's spooky season.
Baby. Oh, yeah.
Congratulations to y'all.
It's time for the spooky bitches thanks. Like me to shine.
That's spooky right. Thanks, bitches. Fucking. Thanks, Bah Humbug Scrooge over there.
No, I'm gonna throw a little ghost in my shit. I'm gonna tap in, but you know, I'm gonna lead the extras for y'all. You know what I mean?
Guard as always, as always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good friends Dragonfly Joan.
Dragonfly Joan.
The Dragonfly Joan.
One Joan.
AKA Tyler.
Hey everybody, how's it going?
LeJethro Jenkins, AKA John.
What's up, Bubbas?
And I'm Guardy B, AKA Mike. And before we get going, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're going through right now. One thing is certain, it's a dangerous time to not know your numbers. But over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. I run a small business, a nonprofit. NetSuite is great in helping us make sure we know what's going on. It's really helped us get organized since we started using it. We appreciate it a lot. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So
How do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer, NetSuite. NetSuite helps you identify rising costs, automate your business processes, and easily see where to save money. That's why 93% of customers say they've improved their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/JANJ right now. That's netsuite.com/JANDJ. netsuite.com/JANJ. All right, fellas. I think there's only really one thing to talk about. I honestly feel like we could spend the entire episode talking about this phishing scandal.
Have y'all got any extra information on that, or do we just have that one video?
I've watched a lot of videos.
Okay, there's more videos? Is there anything written?
Well, first of all, let's explain this for people who did not spend all of Saturday on Twitter, which congratulations to them.
What a life. Congrats to y'all. Out here living.
What a life. Congrats to the Rockefellers who didn't spend all Saturday on Twitter.
What's funny is you had the whole day to yourself and you still spend it on Twitter.
I wasn't on Twitter the whole day, just like, I don't know, maybe an hour or something. My screen time was low yesterday.
Okay,
you know?
Congratulations to you too.
You are right. I do. I am home alone. I get to use all the really good curse words on this episode, so that'll be... That'll be exciting.
Like nigger.
Come on.
I'm sorry. This is the episode where Jenkins and Jones reveals that the only thing keeping me from being a flaming racist is not my friendship with you or general sense of how to be a good person. It's just that I didn't want my children to hear. Yeah.
The only racist who doesn't want their children to be influenced by their racism to ever exist.
This stops with me. I'm the end of the line.
Never miss your racism as that happened.
That's like my alcoholic dad not letting me drink. Like, I'm taking this curse to the grave.
Respect it. Shit. Respect it.
Oh, real love. Shit. That's great. Char will be really happy to hear that you guys made those jokes. That's great.
I don't see me on your head.
Go ahead. That Char is a... Well, I should probably... I'll keep that private. All right.
Moving on.
Moving on. So, a video hit Twitter yesterday, Saturday, of scandal at what I assume was a pretty prestigious fishing contest that a guy, Jake,
that motherfucker
is what everybody else was calling him. Shit, they was on his head, but go ahead.
He was catching fish and putting literal lead weights, like they look like they'd been hand smelted, like these big lead
streamlined for bass bellies, right? They look like the only purpose those lead weights serve is to weigh down fish illegally in competitive fishing.
And he was putting fish in the fish. Like, he, like the most creative way to fucking cheat. It's ridiculous.
So they caught 8 of these fish, and they were, he and his crew were literally just stuffing these lead weights and, yes, actual fish fillet, fucking just cuts of other fish, into the fish. Someone called him out on it. And the video is the, I mean, we all retweeted it. I sent it to y'all. It's the most astounding thing I've ever seen. You never see it. This is like a movie. It's like a fucking Will Ferrell movie. Like, they call him out, and then they start cutting the fish open and pulling these big-ass weights out.
Dog. What killed me was how motherfuckers wanted that man to go to jail. There were cries for people to call the cops from the crowd. And someone on Twitter said, why are you talking about calling the cops like it ain't 15 of the motherfuckers there already?
He probably is one, nigga.
I know it's hella cops. Hella off-duty cops at that shit, bro. You don't need to call nobody.
Well, I saw you retweeted someone who said white people are astounding. They talk about calling the cops 14 seconds into this video.
Some cop calling motherfuckers. The cops are their besties, bro.
But I mean, like, I usually I'm like, you know, anti, like, shut the fuck up. But this one, I mean, what, he's won a hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, like over the past couple years. Bro, and if I'm competing in that motherfucking shit, you want a boat? You got all this goddamn money? You cheating motherfucker? I was like, damn, call the cops on that nigga.
Where's your crap?
I would have wanted that boat.
Right, right. Dog, did you hear the one dude?
Besties,
did you hear the one dude who was like, Jake, you talked all that shit to me, bro. You're cheating. Like, this man was cheating and talking shit.
He was hurt. He was hurt.
You were cheating the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if you're gonna be a cheater, you at least gotta be like a smug cheater. You can't be talking shit to the people you've been cheating against, dog. Like that is an extreme violation.
Oh no, that's me and Uno. I'll be looking at your cars and I'll talk shit after I get your ass, dog. Anybody can get it. No, but it was his face after he got caught, like the. He literally was speechless. He didn't even fucking breathe for like a minute and a half, it seemed like. That motherfucker was like, well, it's over, guys. It's been a good run. Could never show my face this side of town again.
I would have been halfway back to the holler. As soon as they started cutting that fucking fish open, I'm in my truck in fucking gear 5. See you later, bro.
They wanted to tar and feather that nigga, okay? I thought he was black the way they was talking to him. I was like, this can't be the Jake. They talking to him. They talking to him like he's a nigger, bro. They did him bad.
Fucking Jake,
like, man. Fucking Jake, bro. I'm like, where Jake at? This who they talking to like that? It was pure hatred, bro. I ain't seen white people that mad in a long time, dog.
No.
Since January 6th.
That shit made me realize that you need to leave. I feel like that is a two Americas comment. I feel like only white people say that. I don't think I've ever heard black people say, we say you gotta get the fuck out or some shit like that, right? We don't do that. You need to leave shit. I feel like that video made me realize I've only ever heard white people say that, dog.
The thing is, too, like, them, at that point, somebody would have got jumped if that was some nigga shit. Yeah. Like, they were so mad, he would have got jumped like 6 degrees of heat lower. You know what I mean? Like, but because I would have been left at that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was the level of anger and no violence was wild to me. You know what I mean?
I mean, have you ever been around a fucking dice game where someone got accused of using fucking weighted dice? Like, bro, you know what I mean? Like that, like whenever you're watching a Western and someone calls someone a cheater and they all push their chairs back, I'm always like, that's the most realistic shit ever. Someone will get jumped over the accusation that someone's cheating, much less they start cutting the fucking dice open and lead pellets are falling out.
What's wild is, I would have, like most people would have fought for how they was talking to that nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, the person that was cheating might have swung, because, like, right. I'm a cheat, but you ain't going to talk to me that way, nigga. You feel me? It was such a confusing situation to me. It was wild, G. I want more information, though. I want to know how much money he won, how many years he was winning.
I've done some research.
Were there accusations about this prior to this? Like, what made them actually cut it open this time?
The accused team is Chase Kaminsky and Jake Runyon, okay, of fucking Hermitage, Pennsylvania, and Cleveland, by the way. So
all of that adds up to cheating to me.
Yeah.
Kaminsky, Runyon, Hermitage.
They've won over $500,000 in earnings, and the boat that they were fishing in was won at a fishing contest.
God damn. Dirty money all over that motherfucker.
So was it this? They won it all over in this competition?
No. This multiple? Was like, they were the team. They were the whatever this loot, whatever the
I'm
NFL
saying it was different locations,
is.
Though.
Yes, it was different locations, okay. And they won over $500,000 for being the team of the year last year, which is fucking crazy. So, I mean, this really is like some. I mean, that's fucking. Like, they probably will end up in jail. You know what I mean? That's saying. Actual, like, that's man, you get into six figures, that's grand theft.
Big federal money, dog. You know what I'm saying? What's odd is, like, it seems so stupid. Like, Tyler pointed out, like, these motherfuckers knew what type of fillet they threw in the fucking fish. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you don't think they could kind of look at a fish and kind of eyeball? Like, this fish is so-and-so many pounds more than it should be. That don't make no goddamn sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, so, I mean, that was a, I wonder if this is
someone
the first time
tweeted
I did it
that.
Or what?
Someone tweeted, like, you know that's how this happened, was someone was just looking at the fish like, that ain't no goddamn 32-pounder. No,
cut it open, that's, motherfucker.
28-pounder, long as the day is long there, buddy.
I be goddamn, that's a 28-pounder. You know, I seen one of them yesterday. Ain't no goddamn way, bro. That, you can look at that shit and see, like, bro, that, how many weight he put a filet, and two weights in one of them. Bro, the fish probably weighed twice as much as it looked like it weighed.
Bro.
You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker was on. He probably on some coke, too. Maybe there's a coke habit. This shit goes deep, dog. There's got to be something there more than that. Because it was blatantly lying to my country ass and ain't even fishing like that. You feel me?
I can't believe I can't believe they put fish fillets in that motherfucker. They put more fish in the fish, dog.
That's exactly what I was about to say. At some point, stuffing the fish into the fish, you have to have a moment of clarity.
I
want to
know where the fuck they got the flavor from. Like, was there a little fucking runt that wasn't going to make the way in that they just fucking butchered up and then threw that motherfucker in? Like, this is some borderline psycho shit we're fucking delving into now, dog.
That's what I'm saying. Some drugs had to be involved. It got to be something wild going on here. He had to owe somebody some money, a gambling debt, something for him to think to, like, yo, I'm going to put some fish in the fish. Like, that's wild, G. That's wild.
Well, it looked like, I mean, if you think about it too, like trying to shove that much meat inside of an animal's mouth, like it looked like they had oiled it up too in order to get it in there. Like it looked like olive oil. You know what I mean? It had that kind of shine.
Marinade on
it. Like,
on that so
they had a whole fucking system, bro. They've been doing this shit for a while. And like you said, what, like those lead pellets, I mean, that's like in the, you know, like a New Yorker cartoon about Lance Armstrong or something where he's opening a jar with steroids on it. You know what I mean? It's just like, what else are those for, bro?
They were barely spears. Like, you know what I mean? Like, did he make them himself?
It looked,
you know,
hand-smelted. Like, where do you buy those? That's what I'm saying. Right, yeah, it wasn't even. I, you know, of all the sports to cheat at, I mean, we've had chess and fishing cheating accusations in the last couple of weeks. And I guess if you could steal $500,000, people would, you know, it doesn't matter what the event is. People are going to try and steal $500,000. But fishing to me is like, I don't fish. But isn't the whole point of it that it's like fun and relaxing?
It is founded on good vibes. I feel like cheating, I don't give a fuck about cheating, dude. But I see why fishermen are upset here. Because the foundation of fishing is good vibes and chilling and relaxing. And for you to cheat just shits on the whole spirit of the whole shit, bro.
Makes complete sense to me
too. Yeah, there was definitely a, like, you embarrassed us in front of company vibe to the outrage. You know what I mean? That was just like, fishing is better than this. God damn it. Like,
this is the one like place where you shouldn't have to worry about this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
That's what they felt.
But like, it's like cheating at cornhole or something. It's like, I guess.
Like, nigga, we drunk. Why? We don't even care who wins. Why are you cheating? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I understand, like, I don't know. Like I said, you have $1 million, a big-ass boat involved. You know, somebody might kind of figure a way. But, yeah, like, the whole spirit of that. Like, you go out and fish with somebody, bro. Like, if I go fishing with you, like, nigga, we more family than family. You know what I'm saying? Like, we going to sit out there for hours and not say shit and just fucking post up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we'll say a word every 14 minutes maybe. You know what I mean? Like, it's a real spiritual experience. Like, I'm sharing something really close to me with you. So, like, yeah, that's like you said, the whole spirit of it is fucked up. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. They was mad, like, damn, fishing? You going to ruin that? God damn. You know what I'm saying? Shit. This is the last thing we have left. You know what I'm saying?
It's the last thing they haven't gotten to.
They haven't got. I was going to go there, but I said nigger twice already. I'm going to say that for the next one. I've already passed my quota. You know what I mean?
Maybe they did it because they were bored. You know what I mean? Maybe it was just what you said. Maybe they just don't like each other that much and they just needed something to do. You know what I mean?
It's a gambling bet, bro. Or it's just cocaine involved. Maybe even something worse, bro. The way he was sitting there, like, he was so quiet. There's something else going on. Like, I'm not going to be able to pace Jorge back or whatever the fuck. Like, somebody finna be on this motherfucking head. You know what I'm saying? One of your cousins going to be on top, on his head top soon. Mike Jeezy. Garabusio. You feel me? Hey, shit. Bro, that's how it had that feeling to me, bro. It's deeper than this. It's deeper than fish. You know what I'm saying?
Well, salute to them. And if you haven't seen the video, you have to watch it. It is truly one of the most like unique things I've seen on the internet. Like that felt like some 2006 internet shit when people were like, you know, like when white people first got on Twitter and it was like, black people, what? Like, they didn't know what hit him. It felt like that. I was like, I didn't even know this world existed. I didn't know there was $500,000 fishing prizes. Yeah, like, I didn't know shit. People were fucking. That shit was crazy, bro.
Hey, I remember when motherfuckers were still watching TV and shit. Them little Bass Pro competitions was kind of fire to watch. I used to be tapped all the way in. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I know it gets real competitive and they take it real seriously. But it seems like, you know, it's a gentleman sport. And that's not gentleman behavior. You know what I mean? That's not gentlemanly. How he was sticking fucking old cannons into the fucking dog. The big ass pellets, dog. Bro, you could work out with them shits. They at least like 8 pounds, motherfucker. They doubled the weight of the fish. Fish don't even weigh the weight of them fucking pellets. You know what I mean? Like, he has lost his fucking mind. I'm saying this. It came from a very desperate place.
He said he's stuffing those fucking fish like he's preparing to battle the fucking British, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
Tuck a little gunpowder in there. This bro, is the fishing version of a potato gun. Like.
Dog, that man, there was a lot of desperation that came out with what he was doing, dog. I'm telling you.
We gonna find out. You got that little broom handle, you know? Tap, 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 tap.
Bro, when you are bringing pre-cut fish fillets, if there was olive oil on that, he already had cut the motherfuckers. Planned on cheating from jump, nigga. He didn't give himself a fucking chance to compete fairly. You know what I mean? He knew what time it was. Crazy.
Oh, man. All right, we got to move on. I could literally talk about this shit for an hour.
Do we have to?
Because I want to talk about this next shit, too. I want to talk about, look, we're not pocket watchers. All three of us are, we celebrate people.
Oh, God.
You know, having good things happen for them that they don't deserve to happen for them, like whatever, whatever, whatever. But this motherfucker, Rocky, the Nuggets mascot, Bleacher Report said yesterday is making $625,000, 10 times the average mascot salary in the NBA. Wow.
That nigga got a black card, dog. He got a limitless credit card. That's a rich motherfucker.
Probably got an Audi
dog.
And all types of shit, dog.
Right, right. You're making rapper money, nigga. God damn, right. You ever heard of Rocky? Shit. Rocky famous as a motherfucker, dog. Shit.
Dog. I told y'all my theory, and I was half jokingly saying it, but I halfway believe it too. Remember when he got fucking hoisted down and he was unconscious that one time? I feel like this salary might have been part of that settlement, dog. Because there's no other rational explanation for this motherfucker to make $600,000. Goddamn.
One thing I think it highlights is the fact that they don't make enough money, though. Them motherfuckers doing all them backflips, you know what I'm saying? Could bust their ass like Rocky did prior. And they getting $60,000 on average. That season is long as fuck. 82 games, you play, 40 of them. And your ass is fucking sweating hot.
Riding motorcycles and shit.
Nigga, you're an entertainer. Bro, riding motorcycles.
You gotta get 3 different types of licenses to be a mascot.
You feel me? You got all that damn talent. You can do a backflip and ride a motorcycle. Nigga, like, bro, dunk it and shit. Bro, you gotta have a whole bunch of talents. And you get $60,000? Motherfucker, that's some bullshit, bro. They need more. I think he is closer to adequately paid than these other people that are getting the $60,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, $600,000, that's a lot of money, man. At least give him 150. You know what I'm saying? Like, they should be at least making like 150, right? Am I tripping?
Yeah.
Well, so what
this is the NBA? Them billionaires got bread.
But I will say, I mean, you know, depending on how much they're doing outside of the fucking games, like you have 41 games to $60,000 for 40 days work a year. Like
all the appearances and shit, like you go on to fucking elementary schools and shit, events.
So the other thing was, and actually, if you want to talk about who's really underpaid, the fucking NBA cheerleaders, the average salary is $30,000. $30,000. And the only way they can make more, like you said, is doing more appearances and shit like that. You know what I mean? But it's just like...
And the practices they go through are crazy, bro. Like, they're long, tiring shits, bro. Like, you know, that shit is... When in college, I dated a woman that was like a cheerleader for the NBDL team. And the practices were crazy. Like, I'm like, damn, gee, like, and you getting paid next to nothing. Like, yeah, that's wild.
We have a couple girls that we knew who we covered in high school and other sports who became NFL cheerleaders. And the shit they told us was just like, they don't make any money. It's all off of 1099. You know what I mean? Like, they don't really have any kind of benefits or insurance other than if they get hurt while they're doing shit. And she said, yeah, it's like that for all cheerleaders. Like, no one's on staff. Only the person who teaches the cheerleaders is on staff. You know what I mean?
She doesn't cheer. She's not cheering, right? She just
Right, exactly. So, yeah, it's just crazy. But $625,000 to be a mascot, bro? Because he's tucking his fucking Rocky head in the back of a fucking Porsche or whatever the fuck. Right.
I mean, $600,000, bro, I'd do a whole bunch for $600,000. I'd do something real strange, too. But anyway, but when it comes to, like, the cheerleaders, too, they get swapped out quick, too. Like, there's no real... Oh, yeah. It's fucked up. But, yeah, that's it.
Well, salute to Rocky, I guess, from Jenkins and Jones.
Yeah, I ain't mad at it.
I'm a little mad about it. $625.
Let the man make his bread. He doing backflips and shit. I can't do nothing he doing out there, bro.
I'm hating a little bit. I'm 5% hating.
I mean, but also it's hot in the motherfucking shit. You know what I mean? He's in that arena dancing. That shit, yeah. I don't know, bro. I honestly, that would be, even for $600,000, bro. It would be. I would do it, but it'd be hard to get up and go do that motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, I do not have the want or desire to be entertaining people like that.
There's no funnier image than someone wearily putting on a mascot head, bro. You know what I mean?
Could you imagine you, Mike? You got the whole body.
Here we go.
You walking right in, bink, and now you Rocky. You know what I'm saying? You get paid really well, but damn.
Kids are going to be punching you in your nuts and shit. I think Tyler's right. I think he gets paid the $60,000 everyone else gets paid, plus $500,000 of a very intense, silence clause about.
There's no other explanation here, though.
We did our media day grab bag on the last episode. Preseason's getting cranked up, but we did have a number of people tweeted us that we did miss one topic, and I apologize to you guys for missing this on the grab bag, but many people would like an analysis of Jimmy Butler's hair.
He just fucking around. He has said as much. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, I mean... I guess you gotta respect it. You know what I'm saying? He ain't taking himself serious. It ain't like he pulled the Yo Gotti where he just grew a beard like in one day and shit. Like, he was like, yeah, this is some bullshit, but you know, I'm just having some fun with it. So
I think Yo Gotti kind of was almost like, this is some bullshit too, but what the fuck you gonna do about it? I'm Yo Gotti, nigga. You know what I mean? Who gonna say something about it? But I love it, actually, bro. It's fun. It's fun, bro. It's really weird, but he has the confidence to pull it off. There's no way in hell I could go out there in camera and be like, these aren't extensions. What the fuck you talking about? Even jokingly. I don't have the confidence for that. I love that he's out there doing it. So, yeah, I think it's fun as hell, bro. I hope he plays in it. I love to see them dress. Sweet mind. Maybe we even get a Bron moment when one flies out. You know what I'm saying? These are not extensions. Still lying to the people. Come on, man. Let's go further.
Fucking putting lead pellets in his fucking hair and shit, you know.
Bron shit really peeled back. And the nigga still want to act like he ain't bald. Bro, we saw it. Jeez. Anthony Davis, pull your head back down.
Pull your hair back down.
Right. Shit. The roof is missing, nigga. God damn.
Every hero needs an Achilles heel. It's the one thing for Bron. He has, I mean, like, literally, like, what else could you do to improve his life except make him grow hair naturally?
I'd take it.
That's
a hell of a deal, Bubba.
But it's not a deal he's willing to take. He wants a hair, too.
I guess when you have everything, it's really that little small thing you don't have is like, what the fuck, bro? You know what I mean?
That's what fuels greatness. The fuel. That's what fuels the greatness.
Not refusing willing to give up. That's how I got to where he is. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I want to talk about fucking Tyler tweeted the video of Giannis talking about his retirement plans yesterday. That was great. And then Evan Turner responded today and said he likes the attention too much for that.
Bro, I saw that comment. I was like, this is how you know Giannis is the best in the league right now. Like, when you've got, he's already got retired opponents talking shit. He's the best in the league. You know what I'm saying? That was some irrational, out of nowhere shit from a former opponent who's retired on a fucking Saturday night in the Twitter comments. I was like, this is some Bron shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is the same shit Bron went through for, like, you know, 15 years. I was like, Giannis has arrived now.
What did he say? What did Giannis
say? He said
he
likes. Oh, what did Giannis say? Giannis said that his retirement plan is that, you know, he'd been on a vacation where no one knew who he was, and he really enjoyed it, and that his plan when he retires is to just disappear. He said, like Tim Duncan. Where is Tim Duncan?
He's on,
like,
the Spurs bench, by the way, Giannis. But
right,
but yes. We get the sentiment. We get it.
And but the thing is, he should know where Tim Duncan is. Like, he plays the Spurs a couple times a year, right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Tim just be coaching and going home, bro. Like,
he's chilling. Right, in big ass pants, bro. Fuck it. You know what I mean? I forget exactly who saw Giannis, but they were at the airport, LAX. Giannis was going through with his family and his wife, going through, like, getting checked like he wasn't Giannis, like going through security. Mm-hmm. Like regular going through security, dog. Wow. Like, not through the back or, like, tarmac, none of that shit. Like, Giannis Antetokounmpo walked through the front of the fucking airport. What's weird, I think Giannis doesn't know he's Giannis, though. You know what I'm saying? Maybe going on that vacation by himself, like, oh, wow, this is what it is to be normal. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, or whatever. Maybe he didn't realize he wasn't normal. I don't know.
Well,
he definitely
shouldn't be risking a fucking neck or back injury by bending his body into a 45-degree angle to fit through the security scanners at fucking LAX. I'll say that. I think part of it, I mean, you know, he's talked about it a little bit, and it was in his biography a little bit as well. Like, just because of the way he grew up, he just doesn't like spending extra money on anything seems sort of like sacrilegious to him. You know what I mean? So they were talking about that. Like, he really does still, someone made the joke. It was like, you know, that thing went viral about him bringing water bottles home, but he still does that. He still does that now.
I remember there was a video of Oprah asked Will Smith, like, where would he have to be like comfortable? And it was like some insane amount of money. He was already worth like 200 mil. And he was like, wasn't moving, like, but he said, like, because he grew up, he's like, he just never wants to go back to not having shit, bro. Like, so, like, he just I don't know, bro. So as much as he's worth, some things are hard to let go, man. You don't forget certain memories, you feel me? So it makes sense.
I was just thinking about that. I mean, Shar and I, this is the going from broke boy to lower middle class equivalent. It took me a long time to stop buying the 99-cent shampoo. You know what I mean? I was buying the 99-cent shampoo for much longer, purely out of a, like, why would I waste money on shampoo that doesn't smell like gasoline, you know? Like,
I still be doing. Damn, bro.
Hey, that little weak ass, like, suave coconut shampoo. Hey, that's good money, dog. I stand by that.
That's what it was, bro. I got off it, but there's two levels of Suave. It's the 99-cent one and the $2.99 one, and it took me till like my late 20s to buy the $2.99 one.
Bro, I was cutting.
And I'll still put water in it and shake it up, you know what I mean? When it gets empty.
I was cutting lotion bottles open to about probably 36. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, nah, man, there's still some more in this motherfucker. I'm certain, you know what I mean? Cutting a lotion bottle open.
Driving a very nice car, doing anything that you felt like, being able to afford doing anything you felt like doing, but the certain habits that you built in, you know what I mean? It's like, we talked about this with the speed that you eat at, right? Mm-hmm. If you grew up with siblings and in a house that didn't have enough food, I still have to, like, I try and do, because it's a health thing. You eat your food fast, you eat way more food than you need to. I still have to, like, breathe in through your nose, breathe out through your nose.
Put the fork down.
Don't need,
these are
you don't
hard
need to elbow your children aside to eat all of the sides. Like,
so you can get seconds. There's enough.
Right.
There's enough. Or maybe you just don't need seconds. Take your time. You eat slow. Your body will tell your stomach, tell your brain that, you know what I'm saying, that you're full.
There is something to that Will Smith, Bron, and his hair thing, though. You know what I mean? That Giannis seems more able to appreciate how far he's come, I feel like. But there is something to that, and we've discussed this on the show, where, like, if you're Bron and you're sane, you quit like 10 years ago, right? You know, you're like, oh, I got enough money, I'm set for life, everything's good. Like, the only people who reach, it's the same thing with actors. if I made $4 or $5 million acting, like, okay, cool, I'm not getting up at fucking 6 a.m. to do stunt work or something like that anymore. You know what I mean? But, like, the people who make it to the tops of those professions are the people who get what most people would consider to be a ludicrous amount of success and are like, I need more money. Like, I need more acclaim. You know what I mean? Or I need to accomplish more. Like, it's like Will Smith should have quit acting fucking forever ago.
Oh, yeah, you know?
You know what I mean?
Like, honestly, like, I would have got one big movie and y'all would never heard of a nigga again. You know
what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. But like, no, with Brian, I think if basketball is different to me because, like, acting, like, you have to, like, sacrifice a certain amount of time and all, like, I mean, as far as, like,
that's true of basketball, too, though.
Yeah, but you're changing your body in ways you wouldn't change, like, gaining. Losing weight, like that's some wild shit, like, you know. But with basketball, like, I don't know, for me as somebody that played for a while, like, I loved it, so I see why you want to keep playing. But I think the thing with, like, Giannis is like, you know, Brian and Will Smith are like the people that are like, Will Smith straight out said that you won't outwork me, you know,
right?
If
right,
we
right,
both
right,
get on
right,
the
right.
treadmill, I'll die before I stop before you, like, and I believe he actually kind of, like, you know, moves in that way. And Brian's the same type of dude. Fucking Giannis just works. You hear about the shit Giannis does. Giannis don't ever talk about it. You know what I mean? I think he just has a straight up joy for the game and just goes and fucking works hard because he likes it, not because he's trying to outwork anybody. He just loves playing basketball.
Right.
So I think that's why they kind of it just feels different with them. Like, I think, like, there's goals that fucking Bron and Will Smith have today. You know, Giannis has goals, but I think, like, Giannis is just good because he likes playing basketball and just works hard because he enjoys playing basketball. You know, he's the best player in the world because he likes the game, not because he ever really wanted to be the best player in the world. He might have some goals now, like, I want another chip and all that shit, but for the most part, it seems very healthy in how he approaches shit, unlike, you know, a lot of people that are great where they're, you know, they wanted to be that from day one. I wanted to be, I'm tired of being number, like, Rock's my favorite Instagrammer. You know what I'm saying? I love his page, but it's weird. I know that's odd. It's maybe shocking, but, like, I love The Rock's Instagram. But he'll say that, are you not tired of being number two? Like, no, number two gets paid a lot of money. I love to be number two, bro. You know what I'm saying? But, like,
that's something very unique about Giannis' approach, because I remember when people were on his fucking head when he said KD was the best player in the world last year and during that series. And at that time, you know, that was a very valid argument. I wouldn't say KD's the best player in the world. Now, I think, honestly, like I said, I think it's Giannis. But he said, you know, just a few days ago, he's like, the best player in the world is the last guy standing to me, and it's Steph right now. Like, you know, I think that's how he views shit. Like who is the last guy standing? Who's the guy who's, you know, performing the best in the playoffs? I think that's who he views as the best player. I don't think he views himself as, like, I have to be the best. You know what I mean? He just wants to be the best him.
And I think, like, if I'm him, that's fine. That's such a healthy way to approach it. Where, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to be the best I can be. The best he can be is the best player in the world. I don't give a fuck what he says. I mean, I do care what he says. I like Giannis a lot. But, like, also, Giannis, you're wrong. You're the best player in the world. See, you know, Steph Curry, top five best players in the world. You the best player in the fucking world. You know what I'm saying? But I think he feels that way. Like, he's like, yo, KD's the best player in the world. I saw KD put up 60 right in front of me. That's the best player in the world to me at that moment. And I think him being the second or third best player, it's not a bad deal. He understands it's not bad. There's nothing bad about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like shit,
most people like him don't understand that.
Like they got on his ass during that series too when he was like, yo, we're feeding Middleton when it's crunch time. He has been great this postseason when you know, shit's coming down to the wire. So we're giving him the rock, and people got on his ass about that. Like, he doesn't care about that narrative bullshit. Said, you have to be the alpha dog over Batman Robin shit. He doesn't give a fuck.
And he said all of that and then still dropped 50 in a fucking game decided. You know what I'm saying? Like, and still made the biggest plays in the playoffs for his team, like, to win the chip. So, like, you know, it's not preventing him from being the best player when he needs to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just really weird how people approach that. But, yeah, I think the way he approaches it is super healthy. And that's abnormal for somebody that is that good.
Yeah.
As someone
Which
who
I think
obviously
is what you said, Mike.
Yeah. As someone who obviously had to work a lot to get that good because he was a fucking – he was the fucking skinny – he was a slender man when he got to the league. Like.
Yeah. It's like y'all ever seen that one clip when he was like, I've been down before, bro. Aaron free throws during the playoffs. He was like, the only place to go was up.
Call himself out. Yeah. Right.
But at the same, but it's like you said, he didn't set out to be the best player in the world, John. It's like he was literally just trying to secure visas for his family so they could live in the country they've been living in his whole life without worrying about the immigration police. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's literally what his basketball goal was for the first several years of his career. Like,
so his level of happiness, like what he needs to be happy, is so much lower than most greats, right? Like, I think if Giannis made it to the, made it out of the situation he was in and had a regular life, he'd be one of the happiest people on the planet still, because that's just Giannis. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of players that are great. Like, you know, if they didn't make it to where they're at now, I mean, I couldn't see Bron being happy with being, you know, Chris Middleton. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, as great as he is.
The LeBron
as
James Middleton is, of Chris Middleton.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Bron
the LeBron like James of LeBron James's.
Right. You know what I'm saying? If they would, as great as Chris is, he still would have been like, you know, he probably would have been like, there's no, it's just different ways of approaching life.
I saw the movie Smile yesterday.
Spoiler-free review, please.
Would you like a spoiler-free review?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't mind spoilers. Well, go ahead.
I feel like the whole shit of this shit is, why are they smiling though? I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want that to be spoiled. You know,
I mean, I think Mike already spoiled it with the tweet.
No, I didn't. I didn't spoil anything about it. But I will say the reason why people are smiling is the extent to which it's answered pretty quickly in the movie.
Mm. Okay.
In a sort of a traditional horror movie thing. There's not like a there's no reveal there particularly, you know what I mean? It was fun, man. The thing I tweeted yesterday was, I wish I had, like, it's just one of those movies that I feel like I see horror movies like this every now and then where you're like, I wish I was a teenager when this shit came out. And I've seen it at like a theater with my high school friends, and we would have been like acting super ignorant and fucking stupid during the movie, because it was just like fun and creepy. It definitely took itself too seriously in the frame. You could tell, like, the pitch for it was probably the women's version of Get Out. That was like the horror of everyone telling you, like, not taking you seriously when things are going wrong for you, like gaslighting you, telling you to smile, you know, all this other stuff. But there wasn't a way for them to end that analogy, you know what I mean, to land the metaphor. So it kind of turned into a different movie at the end. But it was fun, man. It was wild to me because I saw it in a theater and like people had their kids in it, which is not like, I mean, I like horror movies a lot, but they had like 8 and 9 year old kids in it, which was like,
you're making it hard on yourself. You know, I mean, you're the person.
You're the one who has to raise this kid.
Right, yeah. Right. The consequences of that, you know what I'm saying?
That's a great, I didn't think about that. That's
whether
a
it's a
point.
Sociopath or them not being able to sleep at night, you have to deal with the consequences. So,
how old were you guys when your parents started letting you watch horror movies, or when you did start watching horror movies, whether you're allowed to or not? Like real horror movies, obviously.
I never had my parents stop me, like, you know what I mean? Like, but you know, when we grew up, it was easy as hell to watch horror movies. Like, they would come on fucking syndication TV, you know, this time of the year, right? Like, Nightmare on Elm Street will be on fucking, you know, Fox at like 10 o'clock at night. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. It's almost impossible, I think, to have stopped this. I mean, you had to be around your shorty yard. If you had a TV in your room, or you could get to, you was watching TV after your parents were asleep, you know what I mean? Especially during around this time. Like, it was shit. I mean, that was all that was playing. I miss that low key. I miss not having access to certain shit. You know what I mean? And I kind of miss, like, because I mean, when like certain movies would come on, like, oh shit, you know, like, I haven't seen this in hellas, you know, and then you could, I kind of miss that. But yeah, I think it was kind of impossible at a certain point. I mean, I couldn't watch the, like, if I want to watch the R-rated one, like the actual, you know, VHS and shit like that, I didn't have access to that. But you know, I had the ones with the bleeped out curse words and whatnot.
I think I'm, you know, none of us are like old people yelling at clouds, like, the world used to be so much better, but I'll stand by that. The physical limitations to media was better.
Mm-hmm.
Like kids, when we were teenagers, we cared more about music than teenagers now care about music, because when you had to get it, right? You had to acquire it, and then that object had, and this is how human brains work, it had a significance to you that you can't really replicate that. You know what I mean? So I do think that there were some advantages to stuff like that, even though everything that comes out now basically is better, you know, like TV shows, movies, like all that shit's better for sure. But I do think it was better. Like when you would, people talk about this with Blockbuster all the time, but there's so many experiences like that where you would go and you'd get to choose a thing as opposed to like, well, Netflix says I like this shit tonight, you know?
But the experience too was like, that was something we shared. Like it was an exciting experience for the family. Even though Blockbuster was like 4 minutes away, there was one on every corner, like a fucking McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? Like we would go there, we spend 20 minutes like interacting. What should we pick? We have three movies all of us can pick. We'd all communicate and figure out which movies to pick. That was a fun experience. Also, like, you know, there's like people talk about the sneaker games, whatever, but like the sneaker game, like, you can't get certain sneakers anymore. For me, it's more like the conversations I'll be able to have with people that really were all the way tapped in, that was really fucking with sneakers. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing with like music. Like you said, like with Big L, like you had to go out and get Big L's album. You know what I mean? Like that shit wasn't like out rappers like that. So if I knew a motherfucker, listen, we could really tap in. You know, there was a genuine connection with, you know, when you,
I could,
you know,
physically, if I like something, I could physically pass that enjoyment of something to you. You know what I mean?
And then if somebody liked it too, there was generally a connection between the two. Like you could have a, I could have a, I knew I could have, a, if somebody had particular sneakers on, I knew I could sit down and have a real conversation with that motherfucker about some certain shit or certain music to listen to as well. You know what I mean? It's kind of different now, which I think it's good to have access to all that shit, like the shorties and like, but like, I loved when like down south music was down south music. Like this, like, you know, New York drill shit, this shit sound good, but I like Chicago drill music much better. And I liked when I liked the times when Chicago's music was Chicago's music. Atlanta's music was Atlanta. Texas music was Texas music. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, like,
I don't know.
I mean, you know, they talk about like, if you talk about Long Beach and Southern California, like the G-Funk sound stuff, like that literally just came from like what available instrumentation is there. You know what I mean? It like it was almost like a physical resource. Like, oh, people in Hawaii are better at cooking with these types of foods because they only grow in Hawaii. You know, it was like, well, we have the shit that makes this noise. But not so like, that's what our music is coming from.
Like, and it's like Access is cool, right? Like ASAP mixed a bunch of different shit when he came out. You know what I'm saying? A lot of Houston shit, a lot of Memphis. And he's from Brooklyn or something. Is he from Harlem? He's from Harlem. But anyway. That's a nice little mix, right? But for the most part, like, it's not a lot of people like that. Most times, it's everybody just sounding the same now. Like, a nigga from New York sound like Atlanta. So I think we don't get the same mix of, like, the same, like, you know.
For sure.
It's more homogeneous and heterogeneous, you know what I'm saying, as far as, like, the music, the type of music we get now. But
shit is homogeneous as fuck. I agree with you.
You feel me? Homogeneous? Is that how we would say that, actually? I don't know.
It would be homogeneous.
I say homogeneous.
Well, but it means, I mean, it is, it's funny. We say homogeneous, but it's the same root as homosexual. Or anything,
right.
You know what I mean? So we just pronounce it that
English.
Way because English is stupid as fuck. Yeah.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
End the NFL week right on Monday night with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. One of my favorite things about FanDuel is picking my favorite props and building a same-game parlay that's perfect for tonight's game between the 49ers and the Rams. I'm a big 49ers fan. Anyone who listens to the show knows that. I'm definitely going to take them to win and cover. I'm going to take the player props for Jimmy G's over on passing, which I'm sure is pitifully low. I'm going to take some touchdown scores and so many more exclusive bets, like both teams complete their first pass attempt. And with FanDuel's new live same-game parlays, you can continue building SGPs even after the game has started. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet, so lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook. New to FanDuel Sportsbook? Get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 with promo code JANJ. That's promo code JANJ, J-A-N-D-J. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG. You guys both were huge fans of the Freddie Gibbs album?
Yes.
Loved it.
It's immaculate.
Loved it. Have you tapped in yet, Mike?
No, I'm going to listen to it today.
Tyler, go ahead.
It's great. I mean, like, I've said before that Freddie Gibbs is on, like, an all-time second act run for a rap artist. I think that there is, if you look at Freddie Gibbs as an artist, if you look at his discography, there is before Pinata in 2014 and after Pinata, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that run that he's been on after Pinata with Alfredo, with, you know, Bandana, with, you know, this album, it's with Freddie. It's just been, you know, with Fetty, with Spit and Alchemist, mm-hmm. too. Like, it's just
that
been
was
a,
crazy.
Yeah, it's been a ridiculous run. And like I said, it's one of the best second acts we've ever seen in rap history, for sure.
There is before. I mean, after Pinata, I thought Pinata was like maybe like a, you know, what's it called, lightning in a bottle. You know what I'm saying? Where like he just caught something, and but he kind of felt that out and then moved forward. It's like every album has been a little better. This album was probably the biggest leap to me, though. I mean, as much as like the other albums were great. I mean, and they were perfect albums. I don't think he's dropped a bad song since Pinata. Like that's what, 8 years of music without dropping a bad song. And he's fucking rapping on every fucking one too, like capital R, you know what I'm saying? Like for real. So I mean like, but this album to me is just like, okay, I've shown y'all, you know, that I deserve to have Ross on my album now. Or, you know what I'm saying, with this feature season. Yeah, he built up to, you know, the like, on some like, doing shit with, like, Currency and his homies and shit and Alchemist and all that to do, like, a more commercial album this time. But he didn't do it in a way that felt like he sold out at all or switched up the formula. It's like, yo, I'm bringing them to my world. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love it. I think it's a beautiful album. All those fucking features, I didn't know how he's going to make it mix, make it gel. You know what I'm saying? Like, with all those producers, like, I mean, and then he did, like, the little, like, bro, nobody's, like, clamoring to have DJ Paul in the feature. You know what I'm saying? But, like, that shit went crazy.
Yeah.
Right after a totally, like, right after the, was it Rabbit Vision? That is, like, a very introspective, yeah. Like, I mean, this nigga that has a life totally different from mine, right? Is saying, like, what he say, like, talking about all the heartbreak he dealt, yeah, but, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Some
but
things broke my heart, but vision. It fixed my vision, yeah. But, bro, that's like, a bar.
Who can't relate to that?
Yeah.
Who can't relate to that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the things with me personally, the things I've learned from most have been heartbreak. You know what I'm saying? Or, like, you know, mistakes. But, yeah, man, it's just like, bro, like, what he's been able to do over the last, well, that's 8 years has been special. And I think this is like the culmination of all that work. And it is beautiful to see. And I loved it. And also we saw, like, maturity when you were talking about Jeezy. I think, Tyler, you brought that up in the group chat. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen the growth of them, and especially with a lot of these young cats, and this is just one the heartbreaking thing about rap, they don't get a chance to, like, be like, you know, I fucked up when it came to Jeezy. They don't make it to that, you know, that point when they could be able to say that. So it's beautiful to be able to watch his career. But there is, like, he's lived two totally different lives within rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, and both of them were great. You know what I'm saying? I'm a huge fan of the second one, though. The second act, you feel me?
For sure.
Before we get out of here, can I share with you my thoughts that has occurred to me from spending too much time by myself over the last 48 hours?
What's up?
Okay. So, you know, there's, like, a theory. You guys have heard of, like, NPC theory or whatever. You know, there's these sociopathic ideas that, like, you know, or it's kind of the same as simulation theory. There's these sort of, like, sociopathic ideas that, like, you're the only real person in the world or, like, whatever else, right?
I've been feeling that way since probably 3. Everybody's an alien and I'm an experiment. That's what I've been, what I would tell myself.
Solipsism or some shit like that, ain't it? Isn't that what they call it, I think? But, yeah.
Solipsism.
But
one of those a branch off that tree of thought is that history did not actually happen, right? That, like, the world blinked into existence a month ago or however long ago, and the people here, like, we all have our memories intact, but these things didn't actually happen. Have you heard this?
Yeah.
No, but that's interesting.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't believe it at all,
but I love the thought.
Yeah, I actually had that thought, like, high, like, okay, I know I was a third grader once, but can I really prove that, you know, right. I was a third grader? You know what I mean? But beyond my memories, right. You know what I mean? So
this is why I was a philosophy minor in college, because it was like, I could spend a whole day thinking about George Berkeley saying, prove that the world doesn't stop existing when you blink, you know? It's like, you can't do it. So the thought that I had was, I don't believe those theories, but they're just, like, fun to think about or whatever. But why did pants have so many pockets before the cell phone was invented?
Like, cargo pants were extremely unnecessary.
Like, what were we using cargo pants for in 1994? But if you think about a base pair of jeans, in my left pocket I have my keys.
There's five.
In my right pocket I have my phone, and in my rear pocket I have my wallet. Why? That feels correct, doesn't it? That you have, like, the three things you walk out of the house with every time, and you have, like, three or four pockets. Why do we have so many pockets if the cell phone hadn't, like, been invented cosmically or something, but not in physical reality?
Cargo makes no... And just, like, I could see that thought, like, because just fashion-wise, like, who just wants to add pockets? Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
was one of them for trash? Like, in 1965, what was the
other niggas was littered in 1965, nigga. Wasn't no trash. Niggas was throwing that shit on the street, motherfucker. Wasn't no recycling and anti-litter. That shit was in the 80s. Not early 90s. No, it was.
It just feels to me like pants were invented for 2022. And maybe there's something else coming that's going in the other rear pocket. But it feels like they were invented for something that didn't yet exist. It was also, the overwhelming feeling that I had.
I don't know a single person that likes to use their pockets. Like, I don't, most people I know don't like having shit in their pockets. You know what I mean? Like, when I don't sometimes even want my phone in my pocket. Here, I'll give it to Rhonda. She can put it in her purse. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, the wallet is all I really need, and the cash and the right back joint. And other than that, I don't want nothing. These front pockets aren't even really for use. They just, you know what I'm saying? So, really, you only need two pockets.
I think it's just for fucking aesthetics and symmetry purposes, though, bro. Like who the fuck? Look, like, I'm not wearing no jeans without no back pockets, dog.
you ain't. That booty gonna be looking good, dog. them jeans is cut for the booty to look good when they got no pockets on it. That thing gonna be looking nice. Sick, you feel me? But also, it would be really weird, and maybe our brains are telling us this because we've been, you know. But it'll seem weird to not have front pockets. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even though I don't use them shits for damn to nothing, I hate using them. The thought of buying pants that are just naked, just no pockets. You know, just nothing. No pockets. It feels wrong. You know what I mean? Nigga, ain't where the pockets on this motherfucker? You know what I'm saying? Like, even though I barely use them shits. That's interesting.
But was the phone then invented to fill the other pocket?
No, but the thing is, though, you know, you still don't need cargo pockets for the fucking phone, bro. The phone, who throwing the phone? What crazy person is throwing the phone by their knees so that motherfucker can be swinging?
No, no,
off,
no.
You know
I'm saying like in my front pocket. Like I'm wearing like good workout shorts right now. Pocket, rear pocket, right? Keys, phone, wallet. When I'm going to the store.
Honestly, a lot of niggas was hands in their pocket niggas back in the day, bro. I think we've lost that as we got older. We have the phone in our hand
because there's a fucking phone in there now.
But yeah, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, you have the phone in your pocket or you have your phone in your hand. So you ain't walking around with your hands in your pockets. You know that even people that pose, like taking photos. Remember people would pose with their hands in their pockets? If a nigga do that now, and I'm like, nigga, what the fuck?
Tyler, did you used to pose with your hands in your pocket?
Yeah, I was for sure.
Yeah, I was a hand of, you know, yeah.
Hand of my 90s, pocket ass.
90? Yeah. And sometimes you just had a thumb in the pocket. What if the thumb might be hanging out?
Had it just in the thumb pocket with the and phalanges. Then with the hands on the outside.
Yeah, the thumb was never with the phalanges. You can't put your whole shit in the pocket. You're a fucking weirdo. You put the thumb in there alone, or you put the phalanges in there and just had a thumb swinging. You know what I mean? But a whole hand in the pocket ass nigga different, bro. You know what I mean? So,
all right. Yeah. I don't know who that segment was for. One person who's going to tweet at me on Monday and be like, I've been researching aliens and pockets and phones.
I've spent my whole life trying to answer this question.
I don't know, bro. This is the shit
and
that
we're
going to
invite that motherfucker
just
on the pod.
Yeah, come on the pod.
If that person's out there, they're coming on the pod to talk about that research for sure.
All right, that's all the time we got. We'll be back on Thursday. Hope the start of your week goes well, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.